It's the Garden Nerd Tip of the Week podcast, where we spend time chatting with expert gardening guests and we ask for their favorite tip. I'm Christy Wilhelmi. Thanks for joining me. My guest today is Connor Fitzpatrick, the man behind mini farm box raised beds and the owner of Fig Earth Supply in Mount Washington, Los Angeles. Connor hails from Ireland and spends his time helping people grow food and medicine plants, as he likes to say. Welcome to the podcast, Connor.
Thank you, Christy. Pleasure to be here.
Oh, I love your voice. It's so great. Now, we met each other back through John Lyons,
the Woven Garden. Oh, my God, that's a long time ago.
I know. It feels like forever. But it's funny because you started your business, it says on the website, in 2008, which is when I went full-time with Garden Nerd. So we've been doing this a long time now.
11 years now, Christy. The time flies by.
I know. It's crazy. So what's your backstory? What got you into gardening?
We've always had a garden. I grew up in a farm in the summers in Ireland. My aunt had a walled garden with greenhouses and espaliered apple trees, and she loved to garden. And I had no interest in it, really, until I got much older.
Uh-huh.
And then the thing that I love about that is, and I think if you instill it in kids now, it stays in your DNA and you revisit it later.
Yeah.
So in my home, in our home, myself and my wife in Mount Washington, we've always had a garden for the last 25 years. And I just had a feeling in my water that more people wanted to do this and didn't know how. So I started a business called Mini Farm Box, which was basically designed to install and help people set up their own edible gardens.
Right. And I want to ask you about Mini Farm Box in a second, but can you describe your garden for us?
My garden right now is what they would call the contractor's wife. Because I spend so much time down here, I don't get to spend as much time as I want to. However, I do make sure I always have certain things planted. Right now, I have tomatoes and peppers planted. And when I have a little bit of time, I'll go back up and do some other things.
So do you have tomatoes and peppers? All right, I'm going to ask you later about what your favorite varieties are, but let's go back to Mini Farm Box for a second. So what is a Mini Farm Box?
A Mini Farm Box is basically a easy-to-assemble cedar planter that you could put anywhere in your yard that has basically a level space. It's simple to assemble. The benefits of it are you get to control the soil environment, and you get to control the watering and the weeding much more easily, and you're not bending down, breaking your back in the hard soil.
Right, and I know that you have them in sizes like 4x8s and 4x4s.
All different sizes and configurations. We do a rolling planter, we do a standing planter that's 3 feet tall.
Yeah, and it's on legs, so for people who have bad backs,
that's right,
or need elevated surfaces, that's perfect. I love it. And I use a lot of the rolling balcony boxes and the rolling patio boxes for my clients who have really not very much space at all. Because it's 4x2 or short. Do the patio boxes?
It's 2x4 is the patio box. And that's a great solution for people who have a tiny backyard space or
right,
even a little balcony or a deck. And it rolls on wheels even when it's full with plants. The balcony is only 16 inches wide,
right,
simply because an apartment balcony cannot take a 2 foot wide planter. You can't walk past it.
Right. It's really narrow up there. And
yeah,
I've done those for a lot of people. I have a lot of apartment dwellers as clients, and they really love those boxes because you can plant eight plants or eight different crops in there, and it grows
for
really
sure,
nicely, very happily. Great. So I know that we're going to have, I don't know if this is going to turn political or not, but you've been making the products here in the United States, but you get your cedar from Canada, right?
Yes, I do. And one of the issues we have here is that the Canadians have had, over the last 50 years, a really great replanting program, whereas in the Pacific Northwest United States, they have not.
Yeah.
So we've basically depleted our resources, and coastal cedar is the best type of cedar to use for planters. It's because it's dense.
Yeah.
We still have quite a lot of inland cedar in Idaho, but I find that cedar to be a little bit biscuity and not as dense, fibrous. I don't think it lasts as long. So that's our issue. We have to buy our cedar in Canada and manufacture in the United States.
And because of the new tariff issue...
Well, the new tariff issue, don't get me started. So, yes, all our cedar imported now is subject to a 30% import duty.
Right.
Which puts huge pressure on trying to keep prices competitive in the marketplace.
Right, and for a small business like yours, that's kind of that's a real challenge, isn't it?
Hell.
Yeah. So how has that affected your business?
Well, one of the problems in the planter business is there's lots of cheap alternatives out there.
Yeah.
People don't really understand there's apples and oranges. And you can buy things for very little money, you can buy things for a lot of money. The challenge for us is when you raise the price even a little bit, it definitely hurts your sales.
Yeah. And I've seen those inexpensive planters. They're, you know, the thing about mini farm box that I like is the cedar is 2 inches thick.
That's right.
So it doesn't bow or warp or bend. And I see a lot of planters that you can get at like Costco or Home Depot or whatever, where they are half inch pine or something
that.
And they just, they last maybe a year or so and they look horrible. So I try to
This is what happens. Absolutely, this is what happens. And our job is to communicate to people that this is what they're buying compared to something else. Now, I never like to be negative about anybody else's products, but basically with anything in the lumber and planter business, you get what you pay for.
It's true. And certainly when I'm building beds from scratch, which I often have done, I also use 2x12 cedar for raised beds. I don't go with 1-inch cedar. It's just not strong enough. So it's really important to have that structure. Spend the money on the wood, and it will last you forever. I mean, you put them in and it's 20 years.
Absolutely. And even if you make the beds yourself, make them out of either cedar or redwood.
Yeah. Now, I do avoid redwood because, or solvent dried redwood, because the solvents are actually the most toxic. Like they did, I saw a guy who had a lab, and I wrote about this in my book, that they tested redwood ties, landscape timbers, and redwood, and the most toxic of all of them was redwood.
Wow.
Because of the solvents.
Yeah, I mean, I know all our lumber is either air dried or kiln dried.
Right.
I was not aware that they even use solvents to dry these lumber timbers.
Only redwood.
Because it's so expensive to use solvent to do it.
But it is, but you can special order kiln dried redwood at the contractor's desk at Home Depot and probably Lowe's and whatnot. So that's one thing I encourage people to look at when
that's a great point stuff. Because you think you're buying something good and you're actually not.
Right. I know, we're so worried about using pressure treated lumber to kill our, you know, and we're going to kill ourselves when it's actually the redwood. So anyway, I'm hoping that shifts, you know, that the toxins that they're using in the solvents are not as strong or whatever. Maybe that's shifted since I've done my research. But anywho, back to the subject at hand. What do you like to grow in mini farm boxes?
Look, the winter garden is actually my favorite.
Yes.
A lot of people only grow, it's kind of in our DNA that we only grow in springtime. Springtime is tomatoes, peppers, wintertime is DV, dark early. But I love the variety of things you can grow in winter. Like salad greens are such good value.
Yes.
Because you can grow so much. You can grow 80 heads of lettuce in a 4x4 bed.
Yeah.
And I like to grow them very intensively. Arugula, lettuce, the kales.
Mm-hmm.
Miner's lettuce is one of my favorites.
What do you do with miner's lettuce?
I eat it in a salad. The leaves are tiny, but it's so tasty. Salad Burnett's another great thing to grow.
Yeah, I love
mosh. I mean, there's so many different things you can grow. Mizuna is a beautiful thing to grow. Now, then comes the summertime, and you've tomatoes and peppers and eggplant and squash. One of the things about summer garden, even though it produces fantastic things, it never looks as pretty as the winter garden.
It's true.
So, but tomatoes are another thing that you cannot buy what you can grow yourself. You just can't. Now, one of the little known facts about tomatoes is within 48 hours of being picked, they lose 40% of the vitamins and their flavor. So even if you go to the farmer's market and you buy these beautiful tomatoes, they never taste like the ones you pick and eat yourself.
Yeah, it's really why people garden, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, growing your own things and eating them, it doesn't get any better.
I know, it's so satisfying. So, well, that's good. So then, now Fig Earth Supply came later. Can you share with our listeners what they can expect to find when they come here to Fig Earth?
Okay, if I'm not going to tell too long a story here, I'll tell you how I started Fig Earth Supply. After about 6 years of being in business with Mini Farm Box, it became an online business. So we did most of our sales online. I started to feel very disconnected from people, from a customer or from a friend or from somebody you want to help. And I thought, look, why don't we have a space where we can have all the plants and have classes and have fantastic people like you come and talk about things? And I was just so inspired by that. I was fool enough to start. And as it evolved, we started off with just edible plant seedlings, actually. And then we segued into trees and medicinal plants. We have a special line of medicinal plants organically grown for us by the Grow Good Farm and the Bell Salvation Army Shelter. And now we've expanded into indoor air purifying plants. So basically, the philosophy here is to teach people, help them become reconnected to the earth. Most people in this world have become disconnected from the earth.
True.
Or at least in our third world, in the United States.
Yes.
We get in our car, we go to our office, we come home, we watch TV. And the one place that we're longing to be is
outside.
Connected to the earth.
Yeah.
Outside.
And we wear shoes.
And I can tell you, people come into this nursery, I've never had someone come in here looking miserable. And it's nothing to do with me. It's because there are plants here. And
yeah.
Plants make people feel happy.
Yeah.
And gardening is actually a type of meditation.
It is.
So what we want to do is just, we want to be the, we're not trying to convert anybody to do anything. We're trying to be here ready for them when they're ready to come.
And I was walking around the nursery, which is where we are today, before I was teaching my class, and I saw you have valerian, and you have hyssop, and you have plantain. What are some of the best herbs that you like to grow, or for people to use?
Well, for the medicinal herbs, take your pick. I mean, lemon balm, to me, is one of the most overreaching, overall fantastic medicinal herbs to grow. So lemon balm has so many different qualities. It's anti-inflammatory, it's antifungal, antiviral, it helps your mood.
And do you use it in a tea?
You can dry it, or you can put it in a tea, or you can make an infusion of water, or you can infuse it with either a vinegar or alcohol.
Oh, cool.
So one of the things we did this year, which was really fun, is CC Sear of Abundant LA came in and did a 4-part class on how to make your own herbal medicine tinctures.
Oh, wow.
It was so fascinating. And she's really an interesting girl.
That's cool. I'm going to have to get her on the podcast.
You are.
So I want to ask, because figure this, it's so lush and abundant here, it's hard to choose. What are some of your favorite seedlings or fruit trees that are available here?
Wow, there's so many. It's like having a million children
And
not wanting to love one more than the other. But there's a couple of special things. When we have it in stock here is Buddha's Hand Lime is absolutely fantastic.
I saw one setting fruit out there.
Yeah. And the other one is Australian Finger Lime. So Australian Finger Lime has the caviar in it. So chefs love to use that. It makes a really beautiful garnish. It tastes great.
Mm-hmm.
I love kaffir lime leaves.
Mm-hmm.
They use them in Asian cooking. You don't really buy the citrus tree for the fruit. You buy for the leaves.
Right.
And I love the bay trees. I love anything to do with peppers. We have some fantastic peppers out there. There's Ozelio, thin-skinned, long, sweet, hot pepper from Italy that you can stuff and fry. We have Pekin, which is multicolored, super hot. We have Padron, which is the Spanish tapas pepper. I just find all the varieties really, it's just exciting. You want to grow them all, and of course you can't.
Yeah. It's hard to find enough space for all the things you
Correct.
Want to grow.
People come in here to buy tomatoes, and by the time they come to the counter, they have 10 plants in their tray. And I say, how much space do you have in your garden? They go, well, let's look 4x4s and put 5 of those back.
Yeah, right. All right. It is tip time. Do you have a favorite tip that you'd like to share with the garden nerd audience?
I do have a favorite tip. I mean, I've learned from so many people, so many different, including yourself, Christy, so Aww. Many things over the years. The one that really made a big difference to me is because I didn't find out for a long time. And that is peppers have a natural trajectory to grow tall and skinny.
Uh-huh.
But if you cut the crown off when it's small, the crown you would consider, if it was a tree, you would call it the leader.
Yes.
So it's the centerpiece.
It
usually
leader.
Has a little flower on it, so you're terrified to cut that off. But what you're doing, if you cut the top of that off, you force all the growth outward in the plant. So you create a bush instead of a long, spindly pepper.
And so you get more plants?
Much more fruit.
You get more fruit.
And then when they grow out, you cut their crowns off.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll get 4 more bushes. So you can actually create a 3-foot by 3-foot bush instead of a 6-inch by 4-foot pepper plant, and you get so much more productivity from that.
I'm going to go home and do that right now.
And I'll show you outside, actually. I have a little experiment
okay.
to show people.
Well, that is a really good tip, and nobody's talked about that before. I've seen it in, you know, garden magazines and whatnot, but I, like you said, have been afraid. I'm like, I don't want to cut the top
off. I know.
But it really makes a difference. So
yes.
You're saying your harvest is higher?
You get a much bigger yield from them.
That's very cool, because I only grow one pepper of each type that I want. And because I don't use a lot of peppers, but I grow them and I put them in the freezer whole and then use them throughout the year.
Do you like hot?
So my favorite is the fish pepper.
Oh, fish pepper's fantastic.
It's the best pepper.
And it looks so beautiful. It's a variegated, gorgeous, stripy pepper.
Yes.
We had one here this year called Seven Pot Bubblegum.
I have never heard of that.
So it's crazy. This pepper looks like a piece of bubblegum.
Are you kidding? Yes. It's pink?
No, it's just all gnarly and kind of...
Oh, like a piece of chewed bubblegum.
And what seven pot means is one pepper has enough heat in it to do seven pots of curry, stew, beans, whatever you're making.
Wow, that's a hot pepper.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Well, thank you for sharing that expert tip, Connor. And thank you for being on the Gardener Tip of the Week podcast.
It's such a pleasure. You know I'm one of your biggest fans.
Oh, thank you. Well, how do people find you and Figgereth?
Well, the fantastic thing about smartphones now is you can just ask Siri to take you to Fig Earth Supply and she will take you right here. Otherwise, we're in Highland Park at North Figueroa Street, 3577, the cross streets Marmion Way, and just off the 110 freeway.
And to find Mini Farm Box?
Online, minifarmbox.com.
And do you have social media feeds you'd like people to follow?
We do. We have at Fig Earth Supply, and we have now events at Fig Earth Supply because we have started to do a lot of events here.
Right.
Including our summer market. We do a Midsummer Night's Market June 22nd. And Mini Farm Box also has a feed that I neglect like a shoeless child. But you can find us there.
All right, garden nerds, you'll find links to Fig Earth Supply and Mini Farm Box on gardennerd.com this week. We'll also post a link to their upcoming classes, and we'll point you toward Connor's cool planting menus for small gardens. That's it for this week. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen. Visit us for tons of free gardening information at gardennerd.com. Show your support for this podcast and the other free stuff on Garden Nerd by becoming a Patreon subscriber. You'll find us on Instagram and Twitter under GardenNerd1, on Facebook as GardenNerd.com, and of course, our Garden Nerd YouTube channel. Happy gardening!